Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Of the American Academy of Family Physicians, a U.S. Army veteran. During his service, he was awarded the Bronze Star. He has worked for the Department of Defense and the VA. He is now a primary care doctor with the Sheridan Memorial Hospital's Primary Care Clinic, practicing family medicine. Welcome to the show, Dr. Christopher Pryor. Good morning, sir.
Thank you.
Now, have you been enjoying the summer weather?
It's been absolutely gorgeous.
When we do get it. I mean, it's been a pretty wet year.
Yeah.
Now, where were you born in the world?
I was originally born in New York. I grew up between New York City and West Point.
Oh, wow.
In the Hudson Valley.
So. Now, was any of this like an agricultural background? Was it more urban?
No, I'd say more suburban.
Suburban type
background. So we're about 20 minutes outside New York City or the Bronx and about 20 minutes south of West Point. So.
What was your upbringing like? I mean, was it a pretty good childhood, pretty good running around suburbia, New York?
Yeah, I think it was like most of the suburban kids. I mean, you know, the parents decide to try to get a better life and move out of the city to suburbia. So you had blue-collar people, tough kids, played a lot of sports. I mean, a lot of young kids running around, so they had a lot of athletic activities for the kids to participate in. I was the youngest of five, and I have a twin brother. And growing up in New York, as an Irish Catholic kid, usually you have two choices, either you're a cop or a fireman, right? And then I ended up doing a little different, went into the military. But I think growing up near West Point, that's something that I always thought about doing. And believe it or not, even though I grew up near West Point, I had applied to the Air Force Academy, and I had gotten into the academy, and my choices for colleges became between the Air Force Academy and Dartmouth College up in New Hampshire. Ultimately, I elected to go to Dartmouth. I grew up playing a sport called lacrosse. It's relatively new out here, but I wanted to play the best lacrosse that I could, and at that time, I thought it was better at Dartmouth, and so I went and played there, and then came back to New York for medical school, and I did that on what's called the HPSP, or Health Professional Scholarship Program. It's kind of like ROTC for college. HPSP is for medical school. And then after that, then I was on active duty, and I think it was the best of both worlds. I had an opportunity to have a civilian or a normal college life, and then I had an opportunity to have a military life as well.
Yeah. Now, I've read that you were an EMT at just 16 years old.
Yeah.
What inspired you to get involved in medicine trauma care at that age?
Yeah, so growing up in New York, my oldest brother had a landscaping business. I mean, he's a retired police officer, but we had a landscaping business, and people get cut, people get hurt, and I think that and playing sports, I always wanted to be able to handle whatever came my way. And so that's kind of gradual into becoming an EMT, and we're working for the Volunteer Ambulance Corps, and then working for a private ambulance company after that. And so that's kind of how it started. But I think it all came down to, you know, some of the most important things that people have in their lives. And probably one is health, and two is family. And I guess I always wanted to keep my family healthy. Most people say that they just want to do good, or they want to make people better, but that was basically why I went into medicine.
It was family.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment when you were inspired by someone or something, like the moment that you knew medicine is the path I'm taking?
I think it's something that, you know, when you do well in school, a lot of people just assume that that's something you're going to do. My mom was a nurse, and I guess that's probably what kind of pushed me along a lot of the ways, is being able to, be like her.
Yeah. She probably bandaged a lot of scraped knees and elbows with five kids.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. You know, looking back on it, when when my parents moved out of the city, moved to a a suburban environment. So they had three kids at that time, and then at that time, believe it or not, I mean, my mom didn't drive. She didn't have a driver's license, and my dad was a salesman. He worked for McGraw-Hill, the publishing company, and he did that for 44 years. But
oh, wow.
When we first moved to suburbia, we had one car. He took it to work, and she was stuck with the five of us at home. So I guess that's, if something happened, I always went, hey, we got to be able to take care of it. And I think a lot of the older population probably had that time. Their parents said only take them to the doctor when they were going to die.
Absolutely.
So, otherwise, you didn't go to the doctor. So I think that was a little bit of what kind of pointed us in that direction. My sister is a nurse practitioner as well, but I think that's what pushed us into medicine, and it's been a rewarding career.
Yeah. So, and you said your brother ended up becoming a police officer.
Yeah, my oldest brother, he's retired now, but he was a police officer. Like I said, as a Irish Catholic kid in New York, kind of have two choices, So. And then my second oldest brother, everyone has to have one in a family. He became a lawyer. So,
yeah.
And then I told you about my sister. And then my twin brother, he teaches phys ed and special ed back in New York.
Oh, wow. Now, at that moment when, you were looking at the Air Force Academy, you went to Dartmouth instead for the lacrosse.
Yeah.
What was it that took you right to the Army itself, where you said, you know what, I'm going to go be a ground pounder?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. It's I guess I always thought about going into the military. I think that's something that our parents always pushed into us about some type of public service and doing good for other people. And believe it or not, I applied growing up near West Point, and I looked at the Air Force Academy. But when it came to the HPSP, that Health Professional Scholarship Program, I applied for all three programs, the Air Force, Navy, and the Army. And I could tell you that the one that came back the first was the Army. So. I remember on March 17th, 1994 is when I took the oath and sworn in. So that's, I got the call that day and went and got sworn in. So there wasn't a whole lot of more thought about that. And, I played at Dartmouth, their color was green. I went to the Army, their color was green. So
just, light green, right?
Yeah, so it makes it pretty easy. It goes with anything. So
now when it comes to that program that you were in, do you go to like a BCT, a basic training type of course, or is that a little bit different, almost like the OCS program or ROTC?
I think it's more like ROTC. So when I say take the oath, technically you're in the inactive reserve when you're in medical school. And so you have a stipend and you go to school, and then 6 weeks a year you go off and you do a rotation similar to the way other medical students would, but usually do that at a military facility. So you have to wear the uniform, do a PT test and that sort of thing. So you do that, and then after your second year is when you go to your officer basic course, because when you go in, you're going in as a second lieutenant, and then you go on from there. So yeah, so they take about 300 people a year, and they go down to San Antonio, and that's where your officer basic is. Those 300 will include dentists, nurses, psychiatrists, social workers. So, but they're all second lieutenants.
Yeah,
some people say how rough their basic training was, and for me, I'll be honest with you, I loved it. It was like a camping trip.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, and at that point I was still considered making a career of being in the military. And one thing I didn't tell you, so growing up in suburban New York and then going up to college up in New Hampshire, believe it or not, my undergraduate degree, I was a geologist before I went to medical school. And then so doing some of the things that we did during basic, it was whether it's orienteering, whether it's rappelling, that was fun,
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then even when I did my they called it the stretch at Dartmouth, but every earth science or geology university is going to have some type of field experience, and part of mine was I was out here and I mapped a lot of the bighorns, and so That was, I remember flying into Billings, you know, over 30 years ago, and I can't believe the size, how much that's grown.
Yeah.
You know, since I've been here, you know, back when I was in college. And but yeah, no, it was a great experience. And then so I think that's what really made it a whole lot easier, that transition to the military. You know, I'm used to being outside, and used to finding myself on a map or a compass. And I remember when we did that officer basic class, they, you know, in the Army, they do this rudimentary, you know, orienteering class. And then I hadn't done it in a number of years when I was in med school. And so then we set out to do this. And this is down in San Antonio. So I went to college in New England, and then you come out here, and on a map, you know, you can look at the biggest mountain, and then it's okay, that's where I am on this map, you know. And down in San Antonio, it's rolling hills and a lot of erosion channels, so it's a little more difficult to have the basic orientation to find out where you are. But we went ahead, and you had to find 3 points during the day, and a point would be identified with something like a letter or a number on a post in the middle of a field in the middle of nowhere. And so we went and did that, and when I was finishing up, I remember coming in, and they were setting up like a finishing line, so to speak. And so I go in, and I said, hey, I think I'm done. And they said, oh, you can't be done. And I said, no, I feel pretty confident. I think these are the 3 points. And they took a look at it, and they're like, oh, how did you do this? And I told them I was a geologist before I went to med school, you know. So then at night, they pair you up, and you know, so people don't get lost. You go two at a time, and you just had 2 points to find at night. So he went off, and I told the guy I was going with, the guy that came in second. I said, hey, look, I'm going to run this thing. I want to get to bed before anybody else.
Yeah.
You know? And he said, yeah, he wanted to do that too. So then, you know, I said, oh, you get the first point, I'll get the second point. We did it. We finished. And then, and I'm not sure if you've been down to San Antonio or Camp Bullis. It's basically northeast of San Antonio, just outside the inner beltway. And there's a place there called Fiesta, Texas. It's like a great adventure or an amusement park. So, and it's right next to Camp Bullis. Well, at night, they put on a laser show. So that night, you know, I finished well before everybody else, and I knew people were going to be coming into the barracks and making noise. So I just laid down in a field and watched this laser show that was going on in this amusement park. And then the next day, I woke up, and that's when I realized what chiggers were.
And oh.
So, yeah, we didn't have those in New England, so.
And they got you.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, they got you. Yeah. Oh, that's rough. Did you end up doing a deployment?
Yeah, I deployed a number of times. So, so I started off at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and then after that, then went out to Hawaii, Tripler, Hawaii. It's a tough assignment, but somebody has to do it. So we were there for 3 years, you know, and then while we were there, deployments while I was in Hawaii were Fiji, Guam, New Zealand. These were short scheduled rotations, usually to support the local communities and win the hearts and minds. You know, give out vitamins.
A lot of humanitarian
sort of
effort, yeah.
Yeah. And then once I came back to the mainland, I went to Fort Polk, and that was, you know, 9/11 happened. And then we didn't deploy until February of 2003. You know, we deployed in January. We invaded in the end of February, beginning of March. And then, so it was the first deployment. Then I came back, and I was back a short time, and then deployed again. And the first time I was down in Camp Arifjan, which is in Kuwait, and then just over the border in Talil, which is the southern part of Iraq. And then the second deployment, I was in Mosul. So first time, I was with a field hospital. And believe it or not, as a primary care doctor, I ran a 20-bed ICU. And then when I went back the second time, primary care or family medicine falls under, emergency medicine falls under family medicine in the Army. So the second time I deployed as a trauma doctor, and that's when I was in Mosul at a combat support hospital.
Yeah, so. I was up in Mosul for a little while. It was one of our stops that we usually had to make. And you and I were in Fort Polk at the same time.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. I used to,
heck of a place, right?
Yeah, yeah. So our oldest was born there, and Casey, and I don't think it's changed. I don't think it's changed since Vietnam.
I don't think it has.
And I used to tell people, and maybe you could tell me what you think, that it's not quite hell, but you could see the flames from there.
Absolutely. Right. All you got to do is open up the door.
Yeah.
Yep, and you can see it from your barracks. We were put in the old World War II barracks, and you could see where they pulled the quarantine signs down, and they were up on those stilts. And oh my goodness, when it would rain really hard, that place would flood. And everything would get backed up through the pipes. So, yep, I'm glad I can look at someone else and experience this together, go through some old memories. Now, just one last question. I got to go to a commercial break, but what do you like to do in your free time? You did all this outdoor stuff. You know the Bighorns fairly well. Do you like to get up there still?
Yeah, and we haven't had as much chance to get up there as I would like. As you know, with children, you end up getting busy with their schedules, and you know, we spend a lot of time running around with our kids, whether it's soccer, volleyball, jumping horses. So we keep pretty busy with that, and I can't believe it. I mean, it goes by so quickly. Our oldest, Casey, will be going into her last year down in Laramie, and then our youngest will be finishing up out at Bighorn this year. So,
wow.
Yeah, so they're getting older, but I'm not. So,
yeah. And on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We will talk more with Dr. Christopher Pryor from the Sheridan Memorial Hospital's Primary Care Clinic right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust would like to recognize another winner of $1,000 cash and a $1,000 marketing donation match from Sheridan Media as part of their community commitment. The Powder River Basin Resource Council is receiving these funds per random drawing.
We're giving $1,000 away every week to a qualified nonprofit organization. Next week, it could be your nonprofit. Visit our website, efirstfederal.bank, for details. First Federal Bank and Trust and Sheridan Media present Community Commitment, member FDIC.
Moss Holders is ready to help you update your living room, TV room, or sitting room. Now through Saturday, every piece of living room upholstery is on sale. So whether you're wanting a reclining sofa, a bigger sectional, or leather accent chairs, Moss Holders can help. Choose from great American-made companies like Flexsteel, England Furniture, Southern Motion, Vintage Leather, or more. Take home your favorite in-stock sofa or order in a customized set. It's all on sale. Moss Holders Living Room Upholstery Sale ends this Saturday. Moss Holders. Furniture is our passion.
Delicious McDonald's deals are now more fun, more accessible, and better than ever through the McDonald's mobile app. The app is now the only place you can earn My McDonald's reward points on every McDelivery order. Plus, you can get those free McDonald's rewards you earn delivered, too. Just order, relax, and enjoy. McDonald's will bring your faves to you. Just go to the Google Play or Apple App Store and download the new McDonald's mobile app and start saving. Download it now. McDonald's, Sheridan, Buffalo, and Gillette.
Hey there, folks. Is your water well just not the well you want? Feeling like you're stuck in a drought? You tired of waiting for water like it's a slow-moving turtle? Well, lift your head up high and take a walk in the sunshine. Call 307 Wildcat Well Service, and they'll have water flowing like a river. They know where the good water is and how to drill for it. If your current well is leaving you high and dry, Google 307 Wildcat Well Service for water. Cool, clear water.
Are you looking for a realtor to assist you in buying your dream home? Or maybe you are looking for a versatile agent to help you navigate through your listing and selling process. This is Katie Losey, and I would love to be that agent for you. I have been part of several real estate transactions, ranging from residential home sales, lots and land, as well as listing and selling farm and ranch properties. Please give me a call today at 307-351-3043 so I can assist you in the next chapter of your real estate journey. Buffalo Realty, connecting people with property.
Did you know the Country Bounty is online at SheridanMedia.com? That's right. You always have access to the Country Bounty. The print version of the bounty is still delivered to homes and businesses in Sheridan County and Buffalo, but you can also view it from your phone, tablet, or computer simply by going to SheridanMedia.com or CountryBounty.com. You'll be able to scroll through the entire publication, click on inserts and more. Try it out. SheridanMedia.com or CountryBounty.com. It's in the palm of your hand. The Country Bounty.
Good Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. My guest this morning is family medicine doctor, Dr. Christopher Pryor from Sheridan Memorial Hospital's Primary Care Clinic. In the first part, we discussed a little bit about the doctor's background, his upbringing, and service to the country. Doc, were you still with the Army when you started to work with the Department of Defense?
No. Actually, I got out of the Army, separated in 2006, and at that time, my in-laws were living down in Colorado, so we decided to move to Colorado. And when we were down there, we lived down in Castle Rock, and we were there for about 7 years, and I ran a bunch of urgent cares and opened up a number of urgent care clinics, and now they're all over the place. But back then, they were really set up like standalone emergency departments. And so we did that for 7 years. And Colorado is a beautiful state. There's no question about it. But for a number of reasons, decided that Wyoming may be a better place to raise our family. And we started looking up here for some job opportunities, and stumbled on the Sheridan VA. I decided to go back and try to get the federal retirement and go in the federal system. So I was looking at the VAs, and at that time down there in Denver, they were still working on that big VA they built down there. So I had an opportunity to come up to the Sheridan VA, and I thought this was a nice place to raise a family. So we moved the tribe and we came up here. And I worked over at the Sheridan VA for 6 years. When we first got there, we did both inpatient and outpatient, and then after a couple of years, they switched to a hospitalist type model, the way most hospitals do, and then after that, I went 100% clinic, straight clinic, and after a while there, I was there for 6 years. Then I decided that I thought that coming over to Sheridan Memorial, I may have greater opportunities to take care of patients. I found that there were some shortcomings with being able to take care of some of the veterans at the VA, and switched over to the Memorial Hospital, and we have a lot more team concept. In the way the clinic was set up at the VA, you had basically individual silos, individual teams. So if you were out on leave or you had a day off, you'd come back and you'd have just more work. You know, it wasn't much of a team concept. What we have over Memorial, it's one of the biggest practices or medical practices in the state of Wyoming. We had 17 providers when I came over. I think now we're 18, 19. And when you get that many people to all agree on one thing, that's pretty impressive. And then, so when you do take leave or you happen to miss work for a day, you have your colleagues to help out, and that's what I found over at Memorial. So I've been here 4 years now over at Memorial, initially at the internal medicine clinic, and then we opened up the new clinic down on Gold Street with primary care. Been there just over a year now. So now we have 8 providers down there, and we should be getting another one soon.
So. You know, people hear lots of words and urgent, primary. For those who don't know, what is primary care?
I think a lot of people have a lot of different definitions for that. And like I said, I told you about my background. I mean, in family medicine, I had a lot of opportunities in the military, and I tried to take advantage of as many as I could. I told you I was an ICU doctor on my first deployment, a trauma doctor on my second deployment. I've been public health. I've been preventive medicine. Like I said, I've had a lot of opportunities. And the way I look at primary care is we do a long-term care, preventative care. Some primary care providers can specialize in certain areas, but essentially we're cradle to grave, long-term care with the patient, getting to know the family and help them through some of those decision processes. We do have to work with our specialist, and we try to help the patient make the decision, help make decisions that the specialist may recommend. That's what I look at as primary care. So that includes both same-day care, chronic conditions, from cradle to grave.
So basically, our family doctors.
Correct.
I mean, out there with the Gladstone bag and the the old cart and buggy, right?
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to how much you've actually seen in the medical field and the things that you have done, is it the strong family background and that desire that you had to help take care of family that really led you to kind of decide, you know, primary care is where I want to be, as opposed to specializing in something or pursuing, you know, care within a very specific category like cancer or something like that? Would you say that that's where that drive came from?
I think a little bit of both. You know, when I was a resident, my boss, he was a family physician, and he was in Mogadishu with Black Hawk Down.
Oh, wow.
So, and from his experiences and teaching me during my residency, I really found myself in the Army where I was going to be in a situation where I'm going to be practicing medicine from the back of a truck, and you better figure it out. You know? So when it came time for certain procedures that may need to get done, as he found himself in, I realized that I may soon find myself that way, and I better get good at these procedures. I did my residency out at Tripler Army Medical Center out there in Hawaii, so essentially a 1,000-bed facility. So it's similar to Walter Reed. So we're competing with the same residencies, same patients that any major medical center would have. In my spare time, like when I was on call for family practice, if I wasn't doing OB, doing a delivery, I'd be down in the emergency department trying to take advantage of whatever came in. If a person needed a spinal tap, do the spinal tap. They needed a bone set the bone. Preparing for when I got out of my residency and prepare for my deployments. I mean, at that time, we didn't know that 9/11 was going to happen, but it did, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so I went off in the Army and took advantage of as much training as I could. And I'll be honest with you, if they dropped me out of a plane, I could practice medicine. So when you ask about specialty care, obviously I found myself in situations where there wasn't anybody else around and I was the specialist.
Yeah.
So when I was in Mosul, my boss, Colonel Ficky, now he is the chief of staff at Johns Hopkins, and I still keep in touch with him. He was the head of orthopedics, and he had offered me a orthopedic residency. I had done a fellowship in primary care sports medicine at Uniformed Services University in Bethesda, Maryland, for a year. And so when I deployed, I ended up doing a lot of orthopedic procedures. Most of that time in Mosul, we would do external fixation devices. So as a non-surgeon performing surgery, I would go in those surgeries with a lot of times with an obstetrician or with a urologist, and my understanding of the orthopedic standpoint and their understanding of the surgery, that's how we would do those procedures. When I got out, there wasn't that many opportunities for something like that, and then so that's how I gravitated towards running those urgent cares that I talked about down in Colorado. I moonlighted a lot, and so that kept a lot of my procedure skills up when I was down there. Once I moved up to Wyoming, I decided I wasn't going to moonlight anymore, and I just wanted to spend my spare time with my family.
A lot of work, my goodness. I mean, a lot of training, and then just, I mean, a lot of that is self-motivated.
Well, like I said, I think I always looked at it, being able to take care of my family.
Yeah.
And I do think that medicine in itself is a ministry. And my family has had to sacrifice a lot. I've had to sacrifice a lot as a result of it, but it's been a rewarding career. I mean, even those deployments, you know, it was a long, and that's one of the reasons why I got out. I mean, basically, I told you about those two big deployments, but basically every other year I was deployed. So those two big ones were gone for over a year. My other deployments were shorter, but still every other year I was away from my family. So the advantage is I didn't have to change a lot of diapers. The disadvantage is that my wife, Suzanne, did, you know?
Yeah,
and
so
then as the kids got older, I realized that, you know, that's what was more important for me. And even though I was offered an orthopedic spot, I don't love being in the operating room. I love being in the exam room. And And so that's what I told Colonel Ficke. I was like, no, I think it's time for me to step away from the military. And because of the deployments, because of what I had done, I was way ahead of my peers, and people were very surprised that, hey, how come you're stepping away? And I was like, it's for my family.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Where they would have expected you, move up in rank and go head up some clinic somewhere or head up a division somewhere.
Well, that's the next step. And I was fortunate what I had done. I was able to stay clinical as long as I did, you know. But as you know, the next step is you end up becoming an administrator, and you end up, like I said, taking over a division, being a division surgeon or something like that.
And now you guide policy and not set bones.
Correct.
I mean, kind of, you live long enough that they kind of pull you out of the field.
Yeah.
And we end up losing a lot of great soldiers to the desk.
Yeah,
that's one thing that I learn.
And I'll be honest with you, you'll see the same thing in medicine now. I mean, obviously, medicine has changed a lot and accelerated change in the last couple of years. You see a lot of burnout, and I think a lot of that is that, it's the amount of patients, but it's the inability, because you have to see so many patients, the inability to make that connection with those patients, and that's the uncompensated. That's why you keep doing what you're doing, is because you have those relationships and people depend on those relationships. And that's just the way medicine is going these days. But that's the most fulfilling part of my career, is those relationships.
And that is exactly what primary care is. You're the one who I think of when something goes wrong. You're the one if something happens with the family member. I'm going to my family doctor. He knows us. She knows us. They can look back through our history without having to ask too many questions. And knowing family history is so vital in medicine. I was up at the VA and forgot to tell them that my father suffered from high cholesterol. When somebody else came in and said, hey, have we checked your cholesterol yet because of XYZ, because they knew me from a prior incident. She was upset with me, and I was, I didn't avoid it on purpose. I just forgot about it. But so now, can you briefly touch on the services that are offered at primary care? And we're running out of time. I've got to go to a commercial real quick. I'm getting the signal, so I'm going to go to commercial. We'll come back and we'll touch on these services that you can pick up down there at Sheridan Memorial Hospital's primary care. I am with Dr. Christopher Pryor, and you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Are you tired of dealing with complicated bank switches? At First Federal Bank and Trust, we understand that where you bank matters, and switching to the right bank should be a breeze. Introducing ClickSwitch, your ultimate solution to hassle-free direct deposit transfers. With ClickSwitch, we automatically move your recurring direct deposits from your old account to your new account. It's simple, safe, and takes just minutes. When you bank with First Federal, you're not just a customer, you're a valued member of the community. We take pride in living and working right alongside you, contributing to the growth of our local economy. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
If you are looking for your new Wyoming home where breathtaking mountain views meet city conveniences, then look no further than Sheridan's newest development, Riverstone Park. Premier builders Stone Mill and Cascade Dwellings have new homes under construction that are waiting just for you. Located near the new North Main Interchange, Riverstone Park boasts paved streets and full city amenities, making your daily life a breeze. Specializing in new construction single-family homes, Jenny Redinger is your real estate expert. Contact her today at Your New Wyoming Home.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating, and as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
Kendrick's Bar and Grill at the Kendrick Golf Course is more than just a pretty place.
Enjoy our incredible pub menu 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. We can cater your lunch party for business or pleasure. Enjoy the best burgers and sandwiches in town.
Come in every Sunday starting at 7 a.m. till noon and enjoy a scenic, delicious brunch complete with spiked mimosas and our famous house Bloody Marys.
And every Friday for the best fish fry in the state.
Remember, dollar off dress for happy hour Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. where you can try our specialty cocktail,
The Transfusion.
Kendrick's Bar and Grill.
More than just a pretty place.
It's the captain here with Captain Clean. Professional carpet cleaning is our expertise. All of us clean our bed sheets and dirty clothes routinely, but why not our carpets? It's gross. Even if you take your shoes off, your carpets are always getting dirty. Just call the captain for your 100% free estimate or to schedule your next carpet cleaning. Captain Clean, 672-0726. Affordable options for healthy living.
I'm here today with Candace Crane from Sheridan Honda and Power Sports.
Tommy, hi. August is back to school, and it's time for parents to celebrate and treat themselves.
Parents deserve that.
Why not treat yourself to our great end-of-season deals? All dirt bikes, ATVs, and side-by-sides have been discounted just for you.
Is financing available?
Yep. Can-Am extended their 1.99% financing through the month of August. And because it's back to school, when you purchase a new Power Sport, you'll get a $100 gift card to Foot of the Bighorns and Sport Stop.
Visit Sheridan Power Sports and purchase your new off-road vehicle today.
Morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there and First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. My guest this morning is family medicine doctor, Dr. Christopher Pryor from Sheridan Memorial Hospital's Primary Care Clinic. Specializing in family medicine means that your office gets to see a bunch of little ones. They're back to school's just around the corner. I heard that some classes, at least the kindergarten class, is really doing orientations already today. So, much to the dismay and the excitement of the kiddos, Doc, what should parents and students be aware of as we prepare to head back to school?
Well, one thing that I always get ready to see a lot of when we go back to school, just like you have new backpacks, you have new pens, new pencils. Unfortunately, you will get some new pink eyes,
and
in August and September, we'll see those, and then we'll probably see an outbreak of some strep pharyngitis going around. So a lot of the same things that we would tell people is don't share glasses and drinks with people. Wash your hands. Those are the basics on those, and keep on the lookout and if the kids get some of those symptoms and may want to try to keep them away from some of the other kids and make sure they're not stealing their toothbrush or stealing their silverware. And then those are kind of the ones that we typically see going back. Also, this time of year, you're going to start saying, oh, no, now we got to get the child, we got to get him a sports physical, or we got to get him a physical back to school, and then you find out, hey, now we thought this was going to be a quick visit, now we need shots, and if you don't find out in August or September, soon after that, eventually you get a phone call from the nurse at the school saying, hey, he's due for some shots. So that's what we expect in the fall. To see a lot of, and down here on Gold Street, we do have same day access for those that need to get them done, so the children get their practices in. For the high schoolers, a lot of them have already started, but middle school, that's what we're going to start seeing now, and then the elementary school. Like I said, once school starts, pink eye, strep throat, get shots. Okay.
It's kind of the basic rule, and something that you know, especially being a big family and then also serving in the service. You know, you get a bunch of people together, whether they be children or adults, and things begin to spread. It's just the natural occurrence of viruses. What would you say that folks should come in and kind of ask for? Or is that a situation where you'll look down in the records and say, okay, little Johnny needs one of these, we got to get him one of those, and then get it to him and out the door?
Yeah, so for the shots, we have the wire, which is a way in Wyoming we keep track of immunizations, and then the people that come from out of state, we usually ask for them to get a shot record or their previous medical record, and then pretty quickly we could determine what shots are needed, and occasionally we need to switch the manufacturer or the type of vaccine, but we have all those available down in the clinic. And so those are pretty easy. The shot part is, I think, a pretty easy routine. I think the preventative stuff is to look to make sure we're not missing anything. So, and talk to the family, say, hey, you know, how's the hearing? How's the vision? Is he complaining of headaches? Is he not doing his chores? Those are some of the things that we start saying, hey, we got to start looking at, are we missing something here? Because we want them to be successful in school. We don't want them to stand out at all. And that's one of the big focuses during those pre-participation or doing those sports physicals. The other is, hey, what could they do safely? I consider every person I see, whether they're 99 or they're 9 months old, this person's going to be an athlete, and we got to prepare them for that. And yeah. And a lot of times it's tough to find out what they can do when the person has severe asthma, they have other comorbid diseases. Well, we got to find an activity that they can do, and we got to keep them active. So that's what we'll be focusing on in those sports physicals and pre-participation physicals. The shots, I think, is a pretty easy thing to do. Schools have their required shots. Those are, out there, well in the public. There are some people that have apprehensions about some of the shots, and those are a case-by-case basis, and that's the way they should be addressed.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to looking at same-day access, what do you mean by same-day access?
So when a child has a pink eye, or an adult has a cough, or they're having sinus tenderness, and these things haven't gotten better, and they just can't take it anymore, that's when we want to have same day access. We want to get them seen when they need to be seen.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was down in Colorado, I ran a bunch of urgent cares, and that's predominantly what we did. So incidental care, a person comes in, they got one problem, and they get one treatment, and then they're out the door. And we do that down here on Gold Street in primary care, but we also do the chronic care. So where a person comes in, and more often than not, they come in for their diabetes or their thyroid or their cholesterol, and, oh, by the way, I've had this ear pain for 4 or 5 days, or I've had a cough for a week, I've had sinus tenderness for a week, and so we see a lot of that too. But same day access is I got cut, I need to get a tetanus shot, yeah, come on in, let's get the tetanus shot done today. Or I think I got something in my eye, let's come in, let's get it taken care of today. That's not something that we want to sit on. So that's what I mean by same day access.
And a lot of people might think, the idea of primary care is so valued in our community. And whether that be a cultural thing or whatever, doesn't matter. But, that family doctor ideal is something that people really enjoy around here. And so they might think, well, primary care, I'm sure, is absolutely jam-packed. Now, I understand you guys are busy down there, but this same-day access, this can happen for anybody, right?
Yeah, we try to create same-day access. So we have nurses that will triage and say, hey, is this something that needs to be seen today? Or, can we reschedule another time and give an appointment? Those ones where they're uncertain, that's when they come to the providers and we make a determination. We need to see it today. Or, hey, if that's something that shouldn't be seen in primary care, for instance, you may have had a stroke or you're having chest pain, then that will send you to the emergency department, okay? But if it's those things that we talked about, I got a cut, I got a cough that's been going on for 3 or 4 days, I got sinus tenderness, say, yeah, let's bring you in, let's get you, get you taken care of, and if you need medicine, get you on medicine. If you don't need medicine, let's give you some advice about what you need to make yourself better, and then get back to work.
Now, with Sheridan Memorial Hospital, their internal communications, transferring, different locations, different departments, being able to share those records amongst each other, what is that like? Is that a stark contrast in the private sector as it was to working for VA or anything like that?
Yeah, certainly when I was down in Colorado running those urgent cares, you didn't have access to a lot of those things. So when you had a person that was having a hypertensive urgency or emergency in the urgent care, well, you may not have access to what medicines they were on or what they've been tried in the past. And so here at Sheridan Memorial, I mean, I don't think people realize the health care that we have here. And basically a community hospital, how we have two interventional radiologists, two interventional cardiologists. We have, what, four or five surgeons now. We have OBGYN. We have audiology, physical therapy. I mean, it is amazing that we have all these services in a community hospital. Well, I have access to all their records. So in addition to your urology and dermatology. So, I mean, it's and rheumatology now. So that's something you don't have before. So when it comes time when I see somebody that, you know, happens to have a rash that they can't explain it, whether it's laundry detergent or whatever, and then you find out that they have certain medicines that are on from the rheumatologist, then you say, hey, look, you know, this may not be a poison ivy. This may not be an allergic reaction towards the new body wash that you're using. This may be a reaction from some of the medicines that you're taking. And then you call that specialist and say, hey, this is what's going on. Or if you're uncertain, I call Dr. Robbins' office and say, hey, can you see this person? I'm concerned that it could be a reaction to the medicine or it could be something else. Can you get them in? And it's been fantastic. I mean, even our ophthalmologist here in town, it's been great. You know, I could call any one of them and get somebody seen. So when I don't know what, not sure what's going on with the eye. So
I think that's absolutely amazing. And I think it is one of those situations where we, as the general public, might not realize how good we've really got it with all these great, you know, medical providers right here in our own community and a installation, a single installation, and able to communicate all that information. You're coming from a background where you've been in some pretty remote situations, having to kind of do a lot of guesswork, you know, now educated guesswork, but still sometimes you're looking at going, well, I got to get it fixed, and I've got nothing else but myself, you know, so I'm just going to go ahead and get it done. That's got to be like a breath of fresh air.
Yes. It makes it a whole lot easier to sleep at night too.
Absolutely. The level of care that you're able to provide is you know, I'm not going to say night and day, because you did what you had to do when you were there. So, but now I'm running out of time, but I do want to touch on this clinic texting, and this is now available. What is this?
Well, that's just another service that we offer. I do encourage patients to get involved with the portal. They could see the notes when I finish them. They could see their lab results and imaging results the same time I get them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then when it comes to texting, that's another way that they can communicate with us, whether they need to cancel the appointment or postpone the appointment or make another appointment. Or, as I did yesterday, a person wanted to see a certain specialist and they weren't sure who it was. And I was ready to refer them, and I said, okay, well, why don't you just go home, speak to your family, decide where you want to go, and let me know, and then I'll send the consult there. And that's the way they responded to me, sent me a text. So it works out pretty seamlessly. So
That's amazing to think that I can just text my doctor the decision that I've made when I got to the house. Yep. I mean, it seems almost unrealistic, you know, with the day and age of, you know, having to go in, make an appointment, wait a couple hours, get in there just to say yes or no. That's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just a fantastic service. I mean, there's so many ways that we use technology nowadays to separate ourselves from the personal touch. And that, like I said, that's what is the important part of being in the exam room. So now being able to communicate some of that information back and forth, that's certainly been a major plus. And when I talk about, well, some of the enjoyments of medicine, that's the enjoyments of medicine, is being able to communicate that way.
Like you said, being able to lay your head down in the middle of the night and know, I did the right thing, and everyone who needed to be involved got involved. Now, sir, I've only got about 1 minute left. What else would you want folks to know, just real quick, about the clinic?
Basically, that when you're coming down the Gold Street, you have a team of providers taking care of you. Although you see that one provider, God forbid if they're not available, they're going to go to one of the other providers there. And that's an invaluable service. When when you need the care that you need, you should think about the primary care clinic down there on Gold Street. For whether it's immunizations, like this month is National Immunization Month, whether it's preparing for school, or whether it's preparing for a surgery or preparing for some other incredible medical decision that you have to make. Most of the time, we've been there before and have made that decision to help people make that decision before. So that's why you should be considering the Gold Clinic primary care.
Doctor, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come in and speak with us today. I want to thank you for your service to your country, sir. And I want to thank you for your service to our brother and sister veterans as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Shared.
First Federal Bank and Trust would like to recognize another winner of $1,000 cash and a $1,000 marketing donation match from Sheridan Media as part of their community commitment. The Powder River Basin Resource Council is receiving these funds per random drawing.
We're giving $1,000 away every week to a qualified nonprofit organization. Next week, it could be your nonprofit. Visit our website, efirstfederal.bank, for details. First Federal Bank and Trust and Sheridan Media present Community Commitment, member FDIC.
Our paint department is stocked up and ready to get you going on your exterior painting projects. Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Now's the time, too. We're excited to help you with your exterior painting and staining projects. We have True Value and PPG paints and stains, many exciting options and color combinations for your outside project. Come see us. Great paint, great store, the Sheridan Commercial Company, an office supply store at 303 Broadway, open 7 days a week.
The YO Theater celebrates the 100th anniversary of the opening of the original Lotus Theater with a performance of the YO's new Vaudevillians, Friday, August 25th at 7 p.m. This event will feature the new Vaudevillian Band, accompanying an impressive cast of local talent performing a variety of acts from comedy and magic to singing and dancing. There'll be giveaways and fun the entire evening. Tickets are available today at the YO box office or online at yotheater.com.
Looking for a taste that'll take you to new heights? Well, look no further than Frackleton's mouth-watering mushroom risotto. Plump, savory mushrooms, perfectly sautéed and blended, and kissed with a touch of Parmesan. Each spoonful is a journey into pure culinary bliss. Whether it's a romantic evening or a delightful lunch, Frackleton's mushroom risotto is a star of the show. Join us and elevate your dining experience today. Frackleton's, where every bite tells a story. Your taste adventure awaits. Book your table now and savor the magic.
Summer heat continues. That means warm weather road trips. You're ready, but is your car ready? Will your tires survive hot weather driving? If not, Midas has a $100 rebate on name brand tires like Cooper, Hankook, Nexen, Nitto, and Toyo. How's your vehicle's air conditioning? Not so cool? No worries. Midas works on all AC systems, new or old, including the most recent YF Freon systems. Getting and keeping you safely on the road for your summer travels. See Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Where has the summer gone? School starts at the end of this month. Let me help you get ready. Hi, this is Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty, inviting you to enter my Back to School Sweepstakes on Sheridan Media. It's your chance to win $250 in chamber bucks. You can buy clothing, merchandise, and supplies, all from local retailers.
Enter the Back to School Sweepstakes, presented by Mandy Koltiska with Century 21. Enter every day through August 16th at SheridanMedia.com.